All right, now I have a very short time today, and I'm aware of that. I want to share just a short word about what I'd call evangelistic hospitality. I want to share about the greatest resource, actually, that I believe God wants to use, one of the greatest untapped resources in the body of Christ, and something I believe God wants to reestablish, something that's been largely lost in the Western world. When you travel in most other nations of the world, there's a culture of hospitality, which simply means our home is open, we long to have people in, and if we find out that people are in need of it, of course you can come into our house. And, you know, in our day, there's so much fear in the atmosphere right now. I mean, you know, all the response to the election just really was more of symptomatic than a response, that there's a real spirit of fear. You know, before the election, frankly, spirit of fear was throughout a lot of the church. What if the election goes that way? Oh, what's going to happen to us? You know, we're going to elect the Antichrist again and that. And then now there's a lot of fear outside of the church. Oh, what's going to happen? We're going to be persecuted and all this kind of thing. There's only one source of that spirit of fear, and it's not heaven. God's not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. And that spirit is going to be sought after in the days ahead. I'm absolutely certain of that. That there is going to be a need in our nation in particular, but all around, for what Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 4. The Lord will create over the whole area of Mount Zion, over her assemblies, that's us today in the new covenant, a cloud by day, even smoke, and the brightness of a flaming fire by night. So this is where Jesus got the whole idea of you are the light of the world. The city set on a hill can't be hid, right out of this passage. For over all the glory will be a canopy, and there will be a shelter to give shade from the heat by day and refuge and protection from the storm and the rain. And I want to tell you that, the fulfillment of that word is sitting right here in this building right now and sitting in hundreds of thousands of buildings all around the world. The fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy lies within our own homes, within our church, and within our own families. So I want to share just some things about hospitality. First, going to Jesus' plan and strategy for evangelism. In Luke, we find Jesus sending out the 70, and he gave them some instructions. It's very interesting how he told them to go about the ministry of bringing the kingdom to places that hadn't heard the word of the Lord yet. So it says, after this, this is Luke 10, 1 through 9. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. And he was saying to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go, behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Who's ready to sign up? You know, as this thing, you know, I'm already on the subject of hospitality, and I've heard it said so many times. We actually had a workshop in here yesterday, invited different ministries from all around the region, talking about homelessness and different issues of poverty up in our area. And several people articulated the thought of how scary it is to invite somebody into your house that you don't know, especially to stay overnight and to live there. And the thought occurred to me, and I think I said it out loud yesterday, that, you know, it's not scarier today than it was in Israel 2,000 years ago. I mean, we got 911 at least. People were just as scary, just as likely to murder and rob and do things 2,000 years ago as they are today. That hasn't changed. The only thing that's changed is that our culture has lost the grace of hospitality. The culture has lost something that God instituted in his people from the beginning of time. You see it all over the scriptures, but anyway, he said, I'm sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. In other words, I'm sending you out in such a way that the only way you're going to succeed is if you're completely dependent on the good shepherd. A lamb in the middle of a pack of wolves is completely defenseless unless there's a good shepherd watching over him. Amen? So it's always been that way. From the beginning of this kingdom, it's always been a scary endeavor. Some of us are going over to Liberia this Saturday. My first trip, when we drove out to Ghanta, the city we're going to, I passed UN tanks. The battalions that were protecting the peacekeepers, UN peacekeepers, their fortifications got bigger and stronger the further in I went. So I got the first one, there's a guy with a machine gun. The next one had like a, 180 millimeter gun. And then there were tanks. And then there were three battalions of peacekeepers around the city I went to. I said, God, where did you send me? And he said, I sent you out like a lamb in the midst of wolves. Stay close, son. So I did. I mean, we went past a burned out bus. I was like, that's not a remnant from the war. Somebody just did that right there, and we're out here. And that's when it hit me. There's no 911 out here. I don't even know if they have a police force in this country yet, you know, rebuilt after the war. He always sends us out into places where we have to depend on him. And in those places where we're utterly dependent on him is where he shows up the strongest. Do you really think the good shepherd would send us out as an appetizer for a group of wolves? Or is he saying, I'm going to send you out in such a way that I'm going to be glorified because people are going to look at what happens there and they're going to say it couldn't have been him, it had to be God. You guys with me today? You're all right? You guys are acting like you were on the youth retreat and you didn't get sleep all weekend or something. That group's still out. So he goes on and he says, don't take any money with you. Don't take a bag. Don't even wear shoes and don't talk to anybody on the way. You're on a mission. So whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. So their strategy was go to a town that's never heard the gospel of the kingdom, find a house, walk up to the door. They open the door. Now, the culture of God's people, God's chosen people, has always been to show hospitality. So Jesus knew this. Of course, he was a Jew. He was sending them out to Jewish homes. At this point, he knew if you knock on someone's door, they're going to open it and invite you in. But here's how you're going to know if you found the right place in that town. When you get to the doorway and they open it up and invite you in, you say, peace be to this house. There's going to be a spiritual test for you. He said, if you speak that, if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. In other words, there's going to be something in your spirit that will know this house is chosen by God. There's somebody in this house who's going to receive the Lord. And this is going to become like a beachhead for you. This is going to be a kingdom stronghold in there. If it's not, it'll return to you. And the side note probably is we'll try another house because I don't want you staying in that house. I want to find a place where I can rest, where I can come, and they'll receive me when I come. So he goes on, stay in that house then, eat, drink, whatever they give you. Again, knowing, of course, they're going to show you hospitality. That's our culture. That's the culture of God's chosen people, is to be hospitable. For the laborer is worthy of his wages. Don't move from house to house. Whatever city you enter, eat what's set before you. Heal the sick. Say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Jesus knew that he could go into a city and find places where his glory could dwell. We are 2,000 years away from that commissioning right there. And guess where those houses are now? I'll give you a hint. Just think of your home address. You and I are now houses of peace. You and I are places where Jesus sent whatever apostle, whatever evangelist came to your house and said, peace be to this house. The Prince of Peace would like to come and dwell in your house and sup with you. And we opened the door wide and said, come on right in. My house is your house. Mi casa es su casa. Come on in and dwell in this place. You and I are the fulfillment of what Jesus sent his apostles out to do 2,000 years ago. Wherever we live, our house is now a house of peace. What's a house of peace? Where the that's a tough one to say right there. I'm a Peter Piper. Where the Prince of Peace lives and reigns so hurting people can come there to be healed. You and I have a house of peace. Whatever other area God may give to us as an area of influence, you know, our workplace, our neighbors, our, you know, communities, whatever place we're sent to, first and foremost, our place of ministry is the place where we call home, that we have rights to that property. When we talk about a house of peace, it means a house of shalom. The Hebrew word shalom means more than, when we say peace, we typically think, well, we have no more war. It's the absence of conflict. God's word for peace is much richer than that. Because, you know, we've got prophets even today who say peace, peace, when there isn't actually peace. The word peace actually means this. Something becomes complete. It becomes whole. It becomes healthy. It's safe and sound. It's prospering. It's perfected. It's full. It's at rest. It's in perfect harmony. Actually, the word picture of the word shalom is a broken bone that's come together again. We had the most extraordinary experience with Taya. Taya is our youngest. She's 5 years old now. She's already at 5 years old, broken the record of all the other Blairs combined for most broken bones. We weren't hoping for that. But she broke her femur when she was just a year old. She just learned to walk, and she broke her femur on the trampoline. Finally, a few years later, got a confession from the child responsible for that, which we suspected at the front. But he's not here right now, so I won't throw him under the bus. We went in for x-rays because we knew something was up. She couldn't bear weight on it anymore, and they couldn't find a break in the x-rays. They found nothing wrong on the x-rays, so we went to a pediatric orthopedist, and we asked him, could you, you know, tell us what's going on. Is it broken, strained? What happened here? She can't bear weight on it. And he said, look, I've been doing this for 35 years. I can do an MRI, and I guarantee the MRI will show she has a broken bone, but it doesn't show up on x-rays. I could put a cast on it, or you could pay extra money and have all these other tests done. We said, we trust you, put a cast on it. 6 weeks later, cast came off. It took an x-ray again. Do you know we could see exactly where the break was? It's amazing. Couldn't see the break on the x-ray before, but when God heals something, it actually becomes stronger than it was before. It's true of broken bones. It's true of broken people. Our houses are made to be places when the Prince of Peace takes residence in our houses, they become places where God can take broken lives, restore them, heal them, and make them better than they were before. That's what he does. That's what salvation actually means. So we're called to have these houses of peace. No matter where else we're called to, our home is our primary place of ministry. So I'm coming at you for about 10 minutes here. I'm going to keep it to about 10 minutes. Wait, where's Abby? Oh, you're there. Okay. She's going to give me a heads up when the youth are back, so I'm just keeping an eye on the time today, which is unusual, I know. All of you are like, finally, why can't we do this every week? Right? No, I'm just kidding. Do you want me to do that? No. All right. Thank you, Robert. So that's our primary place of ministry, and our home is actually the best evangelistic tool we have. How many of you, by an honest show of hands, are a little bit intimidated at the thought of going out and preaching to perfect strangers? Like just going out on the street like we did Likens on Halloween night, or that's a vast majority. I kept my hand up not to show you to do it, but I'm intimidated by that thought too. Phil Cappuccio used to make us do it, and it felt like he's making us do it. It was good. It was stretching. I had to get out of my self-centered comfort zone, but it's uncomfortable for most people. How many of you would be more comfortable inviting somebody into your house and having them over for dinner one night? Yeah. See, it's the most natural thing to do, but the Western world overall, we've lost this art of hospitality. It's a place when people come into your house and my house, they come under a property that's been devoted to the Prince of Peace. We've had some extraordinary experiences like this. I'll just tell you one at our house here in Millersburg. You know, when my wife and I wanted to move to Millersburg, we thought, let's move out to the country. Beautiful valleys out here. I mean, I think we even looked as far as Gratz. I just wanted to be out. You know, I wanted to live in the country, man. I'm from New York City. We just lived in Boston for 10 years, and we were in Steelton. So I want to see what it's like to live someplace where I could wake up in the morning and go, and not smell stuff I don't want to be smelling, you know? Manure is a different subject. That's, you know, that's a whole different issue. But I just want a fresh air and to live out there. But you know our story. Basically, God gave us a house right here in the borough. Dead smack in the center of the borough. And I've seen more police activity around our house, and I'm not exaggerating, than I did in Queens where I grew up. And we've only lived here for 7 years. And I've literally seen more police activity on our street than back in the hood where I grew up. So God's doing something, and we realize that God was reawakening something in us of this whole thing I'm sharing with you today, to be a house of peace, to be a place where people would come to. So we've had all these crazy things happen. We've housed people. We've had people over. And while I was working on the property, I think it was after I ran into the constable that told me he wanted to hide behind the tree in my backyard because he had a warrant. He had a warrant for my neighbor's arrest, and he wanted to hide there so he could wait to see if she was home before he broke down the door to arrest her. So after that, it's been a practice of our family. Normally, I'd wait till we moved in, but I went around with anointing oil to all four of the corners of my property. I said, okay, just in case you guys didn't notice, this belongs to Jesus now. And under the doorposts of the house, it's our practice. We do it and just dedicate it to the Lord. And it's been dedicated to the Lord. So we've had kids in our yard. It's nonstop hubbub around our house, as if six kids of our own wasn't enough. We got the whole neighborhood in our backyard. But this guy moved in next door. Some of you met the guy and his girlfriend here. They came and had real encounters with God. They've moved on to Dillsburg now. But the guy's uncle, after he moved in, came to our house. And this guy was a serious alcoholic. And I met him in the yard, and he was drunk, and he wanted to wrestle with me. I said, I don't do that, man. I don't even know your name. I'm wrestling with you. But he came into my yard one day, and he'd almost busted into our house by accident, stone drunk. We were loving on him. I talked to him. He knew what we were about. He came into my yard one day. I was just walking back in the yard, came back from the office here at church. I came into my yard, and he came stumbling into my yard from next door. He was totally drunk out of his mind. But he fell on his face at my feet. hands on the ground, and he said, I got to get right with God. Just like that. Now, I don't know what he remembered when he sobered up, but when he came onto our property, the Spirit of God apprehended that man's heart. And he knew there's something about this place, there's something about these people that's holy, and I got to get right with God. And I never saw him again after that day. But I prayed with him. He's crying. I mean, he was a scary-looking biker dude, beard that would make ZZ Top jealous. I mean, you know, scary-looking dude. He was bawling as God met him in that place. Before I preached to him, I hadn't really preached to him yet. He came under the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the Prince of Peace when he came in my yard. That's what I'm talking about. Our houses have that anointing on them. So let's use them. The word hospitality has the word hospital in it. When somebody gets welcomed into our house of shalom, they've come. It's like the Prince of Peace General Hospital. That's what hospitality means and why the word says that. So what happens in a hospital? People come in broken, they get healed, and they get sent back out again. And indeed, the word of the Lord's come over our house. I want to show you one prophecy that God's given over Hillside. There's about a dozen others similar to it, but this one says it, I think, the best. We'd become what he designed for Millersburg and Hillside to be, a place of healing and restoration. And he showed how many people in our church are in the medical field and that he's using the physical to show the spiritual. Just out of curiosity, I know some aren't here today, but how many are here today and you're in the medical field in one way or another? Raise your hands up high. I'm seeing some of you already. Put them up high so everybody can see. You're in the medical field. No, like, I can see you up here, but up here is where everybody else could see. So put them up like this. No, for real. It's amazing. All right, so a lot of them are at the youth retreat. It's still the case in here. So in the physical, it's what God's given us in the spiritual that people get healed. It's spiritual, emotional, physical. Some will get healed and go to other places. Others will stay and help heal people. The heart of hospitality comes from Leviticus. When it came to God's chosen people, it came to them this way. There's several laws of hospitality. This law is at the heart of all the others. And it was a law, God said, when a stranger lives with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. The stranger who resides with you shall be as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Why do we extend hospitality? What's the real heart behind hospitality? It's that we never lose connection with what it was like to be outside the kingdom. We never forget what it was like to be out in the cold, as we say. And have no hope, have no God. For Israel, it was, hey, for all you generations that didn't experience it, don't forget that if I didn't take your ancestors out of Egypt, you'd still be slaves. You'd be on the outside looking in at this kingdom thing that's going on in the earth. You'd still be out living like that. Don't forget what that felt like. And as you remember what that felt like, you're going to have a heart and a desire to invite in those that are experiencing what slavery in Egypt is like. You're not going to forget. Now that God's blessed you, he's given you peace, he's prospered you in every way, now's not the time to kick back and say, thank you for bringing me to my promised land. It's the time to say, okay, you got me in. You brought me out with a mighty hand. You saved me. You gave me a new life. You gave me this place to live. You gave me friends. You gave me a family like my church family. You've blessed me in every way. Now that you've blessed me, make me to be a blessing. Now that you've taken me out of Egypt, help me to be hospitable to those that you're bringing out of Egypt. The reality is, we're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared that we should walk in them. Remember that you were formerly the Gentiles in the flesh called uncircumcision. You used to be like that. You were at that time separate from Christ. You were excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. 2,000 years ago, the reality is that God's chosen people, Israel, gave birth to Messiah, and the first generation of Christians opened up what they had been experiencing since they came out of Egypt, now manifest in the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and they gave it to all of us. So as if in the new covenant, God wanted to remind all of us who got grafted into this thing, hey, you don't forget either. You used to be on the outside looking in. You used to be without hope, without God in the world. You had no promise of eternal life. You had no hope and peace in your everyday life. Don't forget what that's like, because I want you now to extend yourselves and open yourselves up to invite people in. Now you've been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. He's our peace. So let's talk about practicing hospitality here. We have 5 minutes left. I'm watching the time. We first try it on the family of God. Romans 12, verse 13, contribute to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Now, practice makes perfect. So I'm going to give you some homework today, without apology, that if you've never invited somebody from this church over to your house, before I come back from Liberia, invite somebody over to your house. You got 3 Sundays to do that now. I'll be gone. I won't be able to follow up and check that you did your homework. But if you've never, not sitting here saying, hey, nobody's ever invited me over, when's that going to happen? But instead saying, you know what? I've got a roof over my head. I have a house. I'm going to invite somebody over my place. Do it. Practice makes perfect. If you've never done it before, there's no greater time than the present. And do it without complaining. Now, I'm an introvert. I have no problem admitting that publicly. When I go home, I like it quiet. I like to be alone. That's why it's hilarious God gave me 6 kids, because it's never quiet and I'm never alone. I like to be, you know, I like to get away from people and just don't talk to me. I just want to hear birds and nothing else. And I'm like that. How many of you are like me with that? Right? So we're going to have to get over ourselves. I'll say that to me first. We've got to get over ourselves, because what's really happening is I'm saying, you know what I need right now is some peace and quiet. Well, we no longer live for ourselves, but for Him who died for us. As He extended Himself to us, let's get over ourselves and say, you know what? Let's have the people over. Let's let the people in, because the people is the only thing that lasts forever. Amen? All right, so if you want to be an elder someday, an overseer is to be above reproach, husband and one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable. That literally the phrase is, an elder is given to hospitality. Like it just flows out of you and you give yourself over to that spirit and you do that. So after practicing on the church, they're the safest people in the world. People in the church aren't going to judge you or mess with you. Just invite somebody you like. You can start with that. Invite somebody that you like. Maybe you sit next to them. Maybe you seek them out and talk to them at the end of service. Invite them over and kind of break the ice. Have them over. I'm going to commend Dale Hoy. Did an excellent teaching here. I wish I could remember the message title. I had him share about the difference between entertaining and hospitality. Entertaining is when you get out all the best china and you put on a show for people who come over. Do you know that most people are actually really uncomfortable with that and think, well, I can never do it as well as that, so I'll never do it. I think most people are just as comfortable and maybe more comfortable in the house where, you know, you're like us and you got the sign in the kitchen that says, my house was clean last week, sorry you missed it. Right? Or maybe in your family, you like our kids, we pulled the vacuum cleaner out one time. I think it was Nadia. She said, oh, who's coming over? Right? Maybe your house is like that. You know, I used to talk, somebody was all over, you know, talking about this. I'm like, you know what? Hey, stop a second. I don't draw on the walls. All right? I don't spill, you know, stuff down the back of the couch anymore. I'm a grown up. It's my kids. I have kids. We have a house that looks like we have kids. If you can handle that, come on over. We'd love to have you over. You don't need to cook your best meal and, you know, bring out your best plates. Hospitality is about the heart of the people who live in that house that says, we're really glad you're here. And I hope you don't mind that we look like we actually live here. But come on over, because we're more interested in you than impressing you. The whole thing about why, oh, my house isn't perfect, I can't have everybody over. It's pride, man. It's like, I'm going to have you over if I can impress you and have you say, man, I hope I get invited back there again. That was the best meal I ever had, and I got the coolest china. Seriously? I mean, does anybody actually do that? So the people in our neighborhoods, now I happen to live in a neighborhood with a lot of poverty, all right? Millersburg's got a lot of that going on. I think those people, my neighbors, would be very uncomfortable if they came in my house and it was like, don't stain the carpet. Now that's not to say that if you have a nice place and you do have nice carpet, there ain't nothing wrong with that, because it's about the heart that you have. I may have shared this story with you, but when I was newly saved, I went to a church on Long Island, and I got invited for a Bible study. I went to a men's fellowship, got invited to a Bible study at the house of a millionaire who lived out in the Hamptons. So like he was five doors down from Billy Joel, and Martha Stewart lived in the town that he was in. I mean, it was incredible, the wealth of this place. And it was a palace. I mean, it had, you know, one of them double winding staircases that went upstairs when you walked in, this huge chandelier, which of course I was thinking that would be so much fun to swing on. And I walked in, and you know, I was intimidated when I walked in. But this guy was so warm, so friendly. Not to mention that there was a homeless guy sitting next to me around the table that I forgot all of a sudden I was in a millionaire's house. And I was just in a son of God's house who opened the doors for a street kid like me who just came to know Jesus. And it's the heart of the host that makes a home hospitable. That's the point of that. So we practice it. I'm going to have to kind of skip through because I want to give you some practical points. You know the scripture in Hebrews, let us not forget to be hospitable, for some of us have entertained angels unawares. You know that? So lest we get in the mode of like, I'm going to welcome everybody in because I'd love to have an angel over sometime. I think the heart of God is, you know what's even better than hosting an angel? Is that you just might be the home that the prodigal son, when he comes back to father, that you're the home that he comes back to. How about that? How about that you're the one who's got eyes to see that prodigal from far down the road, and you recognize, you know what? That one seems to really be interested and has a heart toward God. I wonder if I can't extend myself like the father in that story did and go meet him down the road and invite him back into the house. Maybe you and I are destined, or maybe we take the maybe out of it, that you and I are destined to be the representation of the father who says, come on, let me put a robe on your back, shoes on your feet, and a ring on your finger, and I got a fatted calf waiting at the house. Now, you can serve vegetarian, vegan, fatted calf, whatever you want. The point is that we're bringing them back home because there's a celebration waiting for them as they come home. That's the heart and the spirit of hospitality. Consider those that you've been praying for. And by the way, I want to remind you that over here on this table, we have cards. God's really been leaning on us about evangelism, about going out, reaching the lost. It all begins in the place of prayer. And then as Rich so well exhorted us a few weeks ago, it ends with action, but it starts in the place of prayer. So if you have loved ones or neighbors you've been praying for to come to Christ, if you put their first name on these cards, put them in the basket every Wednesday night. The intercessors have been praying over those names. And we'll have times in our worship services where we just lay hands on the basket and ask God to bring in the harvest, to bring in those that don't know Christ, that they would come and know him and be saved. So we have that right there. So maybe you want to consider some of the names that you wrote on the card, that your way of reaching them is to get into a practice of inviting them over to your house, to invite them in so that they could experience the love of God and the warmth of hospitality, be healed, saved, and delivered right in your living room. Wouldn't that be awesome? All right, praise God.